Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Wednesday, June 20th. And today, everything you need to know about the Pistons' second round pick, just in case Ed Stefanski calls you and is looking for your help in the selection. This is your boy Matt Shook, an AP writer out here in Chicago, covering the NBA, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for making us part of your daily routine. A lot of Pistons news and news around the NBA lately, so we'll get to it. Here today, we're going to be running down some of the news, the big trade from Charlotte and Brooklyn on Wednesday morning, and details about today's Dwayne Casey press conference, the new Pistons coach in Detroit, finally going to be addressing the media this afternoon. Talking about the second round pick, of course, today, the NBA draft coming up on Thursday night. Pistons go at number 42. We'll be talking about the needs for the team and some of the prospects who could fit those needs, and also what the mock drafts are saying up to the minute here about the Pistons selection. And today for Pistons playoff playback, we're only down to three of these left. We've already won all the titles, all three of them, so it's only series losses from here on out, although we will have a goody win to talk about tomorrow. Today is a loss in a do-or-die game, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But we're going to start with the big NBA news from Wednesday morning. Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN.com reporting that Mitch Kupchak, the new general manager of the Charlotte Hornets, has pulled the trigger on his first deal with his team, trading Dwight Howard, the former MVP candidate, to the Brooklyn Nets for Timofey Mozgov, as the team's deal disappointing big men on bloated contracts. The move cuts Charlotte's cap crunch a little bit for this upcoming season by $7 million. However, they now have to pick up the final year, of Timofey Mozgov's deal at $16 million per year, essentially spreading out the pain a little bit for Charlotte. And in addition, the Hornets also picked up some cash and two future second-round picks from the Brooklyn Nets. So they must have done the math in Charlotte and figured out that the luxury tax money that they'll save this year makes it worth it. Now, what does this mean big picture? Well, if you're a team that's lucky enough to have cap room this offseason, and there's not very many of them, the tax for taking on bad money is going to be high for other teams. So you're in the catbird seat a little bit here. The Pistons have nothing to do with this. If anything, they'll be a team trying to shed money in deals. And if they want to try to trade a John Luehr or trade a Langston Galloway, that means that the additions that they're going to have in those deals are going to be pretty high. So think about first-round picks, maybe a lot of cash, stuff like that. So not a very good position to be sitting in if you're a team like the Pistons who is cap-strapped at this point. The hilarious side of this whole thing is that Mitch Kupchak was the one who gave Mozgov this huge deal for the Lakers in the summer of 16, where he gave him a four-year deal, and now he's just unloading that deal again. He's actually uploading the deal, I guess, as he unloaded it as a member of the Lakers front office in terms of giving it to the Nets. I guess that would have been the Rob Pelinka for administration that did that, and giving up D'Angelo Russell just to get rid of Timofey Mozgov with that deal last summer. So now Kupchak is getting the back half of it, and so I guess he served it up, and now he's got to eat his medicine too. Dwight Howard, by the way, still a horrendous teammate, more evidence of that. Was reasonably productive last season for Charlotte, actually, but more evidence that you just want him nowhere near your locker room. So this was a financial move, cap move for both teams. Dwight Howard won't be helping much in Brooklyn. You know, really, you talk about buyout candidates or guys that might get waived, possibly something like that. Or also, but if you're Brooklyn, you've got a rebuilding team anyway. You probably roll him out there and see if there's anyone who might want his expiring deal at the trade deadline, especially if he's reasonably productive as a center this year. Someone might want his six fouls, looking ahead to the possible playoff situations. So I wouldn't, but like I said, a buyout candidate possibly in February as well if there's no bites on the trade market too. Seems to be a signal that the Hornets could be going to a full rebuild mode as well, as dealing a still productive player in Dwight Howard for taking on one of the worst contracts in league history in Timofey Mozgov. So expect the Kemba Walker rumors to swirl a little bit more this offseason and possibly into the trade deadline season next year too. Back here on Pistons land, Dwayne Casey, the press conference is 4 o'clock Eastern today, meeting with season ticket holders at Little Caesars Arena at 2:15. Before that, what do we expect from the press conference? Well, when was the last time a new coach didn't win the press conference, especially an experienced coach like Dwayne Casey? Obviously, it's always to varying degrees, but it seems like the veteran coaches know what to say. I've been around Dwayne Casey a little bit in interview situations. He's good with the media, and I expect him to hit it out of the park. He'll talk up the roster. He'll talk up Reggie Jackson like all anyone who's introduced to the Pistons roster needs to do. Say this team is ready to win now. All the stuff that he told Vince Ellis in California last weekend that was in the free press on Sunday. I'll be interested to see if Ed Stefanski is up on the dais and if he fields questions about the lack of a front office, what his explanation is in terms of why we're sitting here 2 months after the NBA season ended and the draft is in, you know, less than 20 or about 24 hours from when he's going to be sitting there, and talking about why he's going to be the one that makes the decision, why the input from the previous regime is going to be going forward. And I'm still interested to hear what the status of guys like Pat Garrity is. I know he's still technically with the team right now and should be there for another few days in terms of his contract ending near the end of June. And if Pat Garrity is going to be maybe a guy brought in as promoted as general manager for the Pistons going forward. But also on Twitter this morning, I passed along a good story on Detroit Bad Boys, the SB Nation site, about Dwayne Casey's assistant coaches from Denver last season. Laz Jackson wrote it up for them, and about how those assistant coaches are not coming to Detroit. Obviously, Nick Nurse, his number one offensive assistant coach, staying in Toronto as the head coach there. And also, Casey's defensive coordinator is not coming to Detroit. He's joining Doc Rivers with the Los Angeles Clippers. The player development coach in Toronto, which had helped some of those young guys develop off the bench, he's becoming the G League coach for the Raptors 905 team. And the old G League coach from Raptors 905, Jerry Stackhouse, we know joined the Memphis staff with Bernie Bickerstaff. So we'll see what Casey has up his sleeve in terms of some of those hires. That might be something brought up at the press conference today. Kind of a confusing kerfuffle, if you remember, from Dwayne Casey when he was hired last week about the assistant coaches in the hiring process. David Aldridge of TNT reporting that that was a sticking point in the negotiation process. Would Tom Gores even allow him to hire his own assistant coaches? I was kind of reading between the lines a little bit there that maybe that meant a dispute about how much money was going to be allotted to assistant coaches, especially given that Dwayne Casey would be making $7 million a season. The Pistons still owed a quick seven to Stan Van Gundy for this year as well. So maybe Gores was being tight with the purse strings on the salary cap, so to speak, of the assistant coaches. And Dwayne Casey maybe wanted to go out to get some more top talent. But, you know, for all the praise and that Nick Nurse got as the assistant, maybe guru, for the Toronto Raptors last season, you still ultimately have to give praise to Dwayne Casey for bringing Nick Nurse to the NBA, to Toronto, from his job in the NBA Development League at that time. So we will see if Dwayne Casey is able to find some more talented assistant coaches to bring along to Detroit with him. But speaking of Detroit, talking about second-round picks here after the break, candidates for the Pistons filling needs, taking flyers, and some of the names that are being linked to the Pistons out there in mock drafts as well. And if your company wants to reach men between the ages of 18 and 44, then you should be sponsoring this podcast. Locked On Pistons is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 to 44. So if that demo sounds good to you, this is your spot. Plus, we've got reasonable rates. So email me at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more.
Yes, sir!
A little bit later on in the show, we're going to go to Pistons playoff playback, Game 7, a game that didn't work out for the Pistons' favor back in the day. Quick couple plugs as far as some post-draft coverage you should check out. You should check me out. I'll be making my debut for the Detroit News. You know the Detroit News on DetNews.com, handing out first-round draft grades to teams after the draft's first round on Thursday night. That should be available to check out late Thursday night on the website after the first round concludes, possibly Friday morning. Not exactly sure how quickly that'll get up, but we'll pass along the links to that on social media. Thanks to the Detroit News for giving me that chance. I look forward to writing more and more for them going forward. And hey, I guess there's no time like the present to formally announce that I'm actually moving back to Detroit at the end of next week. No April Fool's here, moving back home to the D. So looking forward to, writing more for the Detroit News, outlets like that, the Associated Press there for Larry Lage keeping up the Locked On Pistons podcast, of course, and beefing that up going into next season, tuning it up, fine-tuning some things, bringing in some more and better guests as well, spending some more time around the Detroit Pistons and also at Little Caesars Arena at the Palace practice facility as well. So a quick plug there. Tell your friends about the podcast. It's going to be kind of a bigger part of my focus and my career going forward. So I'm looking for more work as well, so more opportunities, and got some dough saved up, and we'll see what the career mix will be for me going forward. Thanks to everyone for your support. You helped make this all possible here for Locked On Pistons. But speaking of the network, the Locked On Mockdown, or the Mockdown, that's a good, I think one of the readers on Twitter suggests we call it the Mockdown Draft. But the Locked On NBA Mock Draft continues this week, almost through the whole first round. We took a day off today as the Locked On NBA podcast with David Locke had a special episode with Jonathan Charks of The Ringer. You should check that out. And we'll also have the final post of our first round mock draft on Thursday. So you want to check that out as well as we close out all the picks with all the war rooms, all the teams, Locked On podcast making their picks. The Locked On Podcast Network, the local experts on the biggest stories. Now, talking Pistons, picking number 42. Without a first-round pick and without the cap space that the Pistons have none of this offseason, the second-round pick becomes a little bit more important than usual for the team. And plus, everything I've read about this draft has the experts thinking that there is some true talent available in the top of the second round. Now, does that quote-unquote true talent extend all the way to number 42, the 12th pick of the second round? We will see, but there are real players to be had up until about that late 30s, possibly even early 40s mark. And the Pistons have needs. Obviously, a point guard to develop would be probably number one on that list. Jameer Nelson is gone, thankfully. So now Ish Smith, the veteran, is in the final year of his deal going forward. So you might hope that you could find a cheaper alternative than Ish going forward at the backup point guard position, and this would be a chance to get that. Pistons obviously also need wings. Hopelessly short on wing talent right now compared to the rest of the league. So not a bad idea to take a flyer on a wing that you think could be just as good as some of the first-round wings that might slide into that second round. And also, maybe a project big as well. I think Anthony Tolliver is probably gone when you look at the cap situation that the Pistons are in, especially given that Henry Ellenson and John Luehr are ready-made replacements to take those minutes. Probably not as effective, but you would hope that the amount of asset capital that you've used to acquire John Luehr in free agency and draft Henry Ellenson in the first round, that those guys are ready and capable to take over those minutes for Anthony Tolliver. And so those guys could replace that. But you could always use a modern four who can shoot it, especially if you're thinking of possibly dumping John Luehr's deal this trade deadline or maybe in the offseason next year. And even a backup center. I know Pistons fans don't want to probably hear about that with the glut of big men with Drummond and Griffin leading the way. But if you can't stomach Eric Moreland getting minutes next season, then maybe the second round pick, it's a truly a best player available situation when you're picking at 42. So here's some guys that are being talked about for some of those spots. A little while back, James Edwards III of The Athletic did a second round mock draft a few weeks back. Talked about Jerome Robinson of Boston College as possibly that point guard of the future, 6'5 guy, and a bonus that he could possibly play on the wing right away now. So he could kind of kill two birds with one stone there, get a wing, and possibly develop it into a point guard of the future. Big enough to defend those spots. Unfortunately, it looks like he's moved up in the draft lately, and it looks like Jerome Robinson might not be available for the Pistons at 42. Tony Carr of Penn State is the guy that we've talked about, kind of in that same mold of Robinson, as a bigger player, a scorer as well. Could be an explosive player off the bench, getting nearly 20 a game for the Nittany Lions, although not the defender you might hope for as the Detroit Pistons go forward. Hamidou Diallo of Kentucky is a project 19-year-old, great athleticism, very raw. Like I said, a Kentucky guy, so it's unclear what he can do. They spread the wealth there, but certainly the physical tools to possibly down the line become a player to look at in the NBA. Vince Ellis of the Free Press has the Pistons mocking to get Kevin Hervey of Texas Arlington going to them. Small school there, was never had a player in the NBA, according to James Edwards III of The Athletic. We know that Vince is connected well with the Detroit front office, so there could be something to that. Hervey is a small forward. He got 20 a game in the SWAC, scores a lot, was a senior last year, which is rare in the college game these days. TheRinger.com has in their latest mock draft the Pistons taking Gary Trent Jr. of Duke, who could be a great shooter in the NBA. His dad was Gary Trent Sr., the Shaq of the Mac when I was in school back then. Gary Trent Jr. got 14.5 points per game for Coach Krzyzewski. Needs to improve the D. I didn't really watch hardly any of Duke this year. That's a little bit of a hole in my game with my draft preparation. I hate watching Duke, so any chance that I get to not watch them is a good thing. But knowing this draft, I had to go back and research these guys a little bit and watch them a little bit more than I did during the season. Got to learn about guys like Marvin Bagley, Wendell Carter, and guys like Grayson Allen and Gary Trent as well, Trevon Duval too. So Jeremy Wu of Sports Illustrated, by the way, who was the expert on the Locked On mock NBA draft that we have that you should be checking out, he also has the Pistons taking Gary Trent Jr. for what it's worth there. So two of the experts have Gary Trent going to the Pistons. Sam Vecenie of The Athletic has a mock draft with two rounds, which are tough to come by. He has Landry Shamet of Wichita State, the big point guard, going to the Pistons, 6'5", good shooter, not terribly athletic, so we'll see. Another guy that Pistons fans like, I haven't seen any mock drafts taking him, is Javon Carter of West Virginia. He might not be around at 42, but 17 points per game, a senior there as well, a strong defender that could help out in the backcourt. My guy that I've talked up a little bit about is Alize Johnson of Missouri State. I used to live in Springfield, so I know a lot about Alize Johnson's game, a raw wing who needs to develop offensively, but it's kind of a dog, a guy that the Pistons could build their way around culturally too. Another one I like is Raleigh Alkins of Arizona. If he falls, a nice athletic player on the wing who gets after it defensively. So like I said, tough to find some two-round mocks, but one that I did find today was from the Sporting News, a contributor that they have. They had the Pistons taking Mitchell Robinson, a former McDonald's All-American who committed to play at Western Kentucky, despite the fact that he was a McDonald's All-American out of high school, which sounds fishy, right? And so fishy that he ended up not playing for the Hilltoppers. So I don't suspect that Robinson will be there at 42 either, but certainly a 7-footer. If he's there, a lot of upside, definitely take him. And another McDonald's All-American that could be out there in the second round, probably will be out there available to the Pistons at 42, is UNLV's Brandon McCoy, a 7-footer that was productive in Vegas for the Running Rebels. I like the pedigree there. I like the McDonald's All-Americans. And we mentioned James Edwards III of The Athletic. He had a list of 10 guys the Pistons might be taking a look at in the second round. And out of the ones that we haven't mentioned yet, he's got Jalen Brunson of Villanova on that list. Probably won't be there, but certainly a guy the Pistons should think about. Trevon Duval of Duke doesn't really do much for me with his lack of shooting there. Shake Milton of SMU, a good prospect who fell because of an injury, a guy who probably won't be around at 42 either. Savi Mikalajczyk of Kansas, a guy who's was in the draft process last year but backed out. A good shooter, one of the better ones in the draft this year, defensively and athletically limited, but that's what you get in the second round. You're not going to find polished prospects at 42. Another guy that James mentions is Malik Newman of Kansas, another great high school prospect who ended up transferring from Mississippi State to Kansas, big-time recruit out of Mississippi there, so some pedigree. Speaking of pedigree, Alonzo Trier of Arizona, a lot of off-court baggage there, got busted for PEDs twice, got buckets in college, though. And then the last guy that James mentioned, and don't forget about him, Mo Wagner of Michigan. Michigan fans might be excited about that. Could be that scoring big, nice shooting potential for the big man out of Germany and Ann Arbor. So the Pistons, you know, could get lucky and have that first-round wing drop. My dream scenario for the Pistons is Melvin Frazier of Tulane dropping. He's probably more of a late first-round, very early second-round candidate. Big dunker who can defend and get after it, a tough guy. But like I said, he's probably gone, but that's my dream scenario. My more likely scenario of the more likely guys that are going to be there, my pick would be Raleigh Alkins of Arizona, just a tough wing guy that is just the defensive mold that the Pistons need, but also is a good shooter, fills the needs for the Pistons on the wing. Not a very tall guy defensively on the wing, can't really defend small forwards probably yet at 6'3", but a guy that I like out of New York City that knocks it down, big upper body, and just a guy who really impressed me at the combine with the way he defended and got after it in a situation where maybe it's not as easy to defend and really get after it in those types of five-on-five game situations that they have. A guy that went through the draft process last year, too. Just a tough guy who played at a good program in Arizona, and a guy that I like. So that's my pick. Let me know what you think. Let me know who you guys like on Twitter as far as the Pistons making their pick on Thursday night. We're going to be talking Pistons playoff playback up next. Since we can't live in the present, we relive the past here on Locked On Pistons. It is now time for Pistons playoff playback going back 30 years ago Thursday. So 30 years ago tomorrow, another crushing loss for the Pistons in Los Angeles. We talked about the other day Isaiah ankle game in Game 6, which was also the Laimbeer phantom foul game. And two nights later, Pistons fans have more reason to be upset at the Great Western Forum in Inglewood, California. June 21st, 1988, losing Game 7 to the Lakers in the NBA Finals. 108-105 was the final score. Two nights after the big sprained ankle injury that Isaiah suffered in the third quarter of Game 6, Zeke was still hobbled in Game 7, only played 28 minutes, scored just 10 points in the decider. Not quite the same guy for the Pistons, who were led by 25 points from Joe Dumars and a strong game off the bench by Spider Sally, 17 points and 10 rebounds, stepping up big for Chuck Daly's Detroit Pistons. 36 points for Finals MVP James Worthy, and 19 points, 14 assists for Magic Johnson, 21 for Byron Scott, who stepped up there, as well as the front court of A.C. Green and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, combined for, I think, just about 8 points. So not much going on for those guys. But a wild ending in this one. The Lakers were up 4 in the final minute, and Bill Laimbeer stepped up and hit the clutch three-pointer there as the closing seconds rounded off. But the Pistons pressed, and the Lakers passed it up to A.C. Green, who got the full court fast break easy bucket to go up 3, as Dick Stockton says he clinched the championship with the layup there. But a desperation inbound full court pass from Laimbeer, who took it out of the net to Isaiah Thomas. And by now, the Lakers fans are kind of all over the court. They're standing on the court. They're ready to rush the court. A little bit of pandemonium there in the backcourt. Not really in the way of Isaiah, but more as the pass sailed by. There were Lakers fans on the court already. The game should have obviously been stopped at that point, and some order should have been restored at the Great Western Forum. But anyway, Isaiah caught the ball, gets it, and as he's dribbling forward to make a move and try to get up a tying three-point shot, he gets clipped by Magic Johnson, his childhood friend, and he hits the deck as time expired. You know, was that a foul? It's hard to tell. I haven't really seen great replays of that play, but being the fans, being on the court, and what in a normal play would have been a foul on Magic Johnson, tough to make that call at the buzzer in Game 7 of the NBA Finals. But either way, when you combine those two scenarios, that's a tough pill to swallow for Pistons fans, and it would be a long offseason ahead, but just another hurdle to climb in the big picture as we look back. And as we know, the championship champagne would taste very sweet a year from then in Los Angeles in 1989. So give us a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account at Locked On Pistons. Got two more Pistons playoff playbacks. We'll have two more episodes of the podcast going forward the rest of the week. We'll be talking about the introductory press conference, which is on Wednesday, on Thursday's podcast. And also, if there's any last-minute draft preparation and notes to pass along, or mock draft updates or anything like that. And also Friday, we'll be given the recap of what happened in the NBA draft, and also from a Pistons perspective in the second round. Give us a like on the Facebook page at Locked On Pistons-MattShook, and give us a rating and review on iTunes. So enjoy the press conference. It's Dwayne Casey time here in Detroit. This has been your host, Matt Shook, for Locked On Pistons. Thanks a lot.